yesterday. We considered all the true values of life and came to the conclusion that true value lies in knowing oneself and knowing over God. Man is thrice blessed. He has got physical body, intellect, and soul. So he should develop in all three ways so that he may reap the full benefit of a man's life. So, considering all other matters, we ultimately came to this decision that man who has not developed spiritually, however he may have developed physically or intellectually, he is nowhere. For the reason that we have to leave the body someday. This is only a temporary abode which we have to make the best use of it. Man is the highest of all creation, and it is in that only that we can meet God. Know ourselves, know ourselves. If we have not done that work, we have, truly speaking, lost our most precious life, which was bestowed to us as a man. We also came to the conclusion that time does come when something leaves this body. That something is that we are. That is called soul. That is conscious entity, but under the control of mind, it is so much united that it cannot differentiate itself from the mind. And mind is further swayed by the outgoing faculties. We have identified ourselves with the body and its environments, so much so that we cannot now differentiate who we are, what we are. And what led to this conclusion, you see? That was the subject which I dealt with yesterday. How we forgot ourselves. So that was explained that the outgoing faculties, we have been working through them from morn till night. We have been receiving impressions from outside, from majority of three of the outgoing faculties, sight, audition, and taste. That all the time when we go to sleep, close our eyes, we think of the same impressions we receive through them. When we go to sleep, in dreams even that, those very impressions are reproduced as it were we are living only superficial life. So our inner eyes were shut. So to say, we have become blind in the terminology of the masters, because God is within us, but in our eyes not open with which we can see that light. God's voice is in every heart, but our inner ears are closed. That is why we have, as it were, become deaf to hear that voice. Similarly, we are given up to the taste of the things outside so much so that the real bliss, the sweet elixir of the divine link existing in each man, that we are not able to taste now. Ultimately, we came to the conclusion that we are, as it were, sleeping in a house of body, and the passions are just assailing us. When a man is asleep in a body, you see, in a house, anybody can come take away anything he likes. So we do not know when we are just assailed by the passions. How to overcome that, that is ultimately we arrive at the conclusion that somebody who is competent to raise us above the outgoing faculties, only then we can be saved the attacks of passions through the various outgoing faculties which are, we are now having. So if we could sit at the feet of somebody who can transcend the body himself and give us an experience how to transcend these outgoing faculties, at his feet we will come to know what is what, why our inner eyes can be opened, you see. Divinity already exists in man, that is only an expression thereof that we learn at the feet of some master. So that was the subject yesterday. Today's subject is, you see, our soul, our conscious entity. God is all consciousness, and we are a drop of the ocean of life, of consciousness. But our mind is controlled, complete control of mind. Now mind is further swayed by the outgoing faculties. Unless the mind turns away from the earthly things, we cannot go inside or transcend the body or have an ingress into the kingdom of God. How we can control mind and contact the divine link, God in action power, you might say, which is supporting each one of us, and as also all the creations, how can we contact with that power? That would be the subject of today's talk. Yesterday I quoted, and day before, from two masters of the East, one Kabir and the other Guru Arjan, the fifth Guru of the sixth, and given quotations from Bible and others, just to show that their teachings were one on this point. Today we are taking up just a hymn from Guru Amar Das, another master who came to the East. Let us see what he has to say on the subject. And everybody is doing something at least, you see. Those who are interested in the subject, the mystery of life, has entered their hearts. They cannot remain unraveled. So everybody is striving to do something. But they find one difficulty. They are just putting time to read the Holy Scriptures, of all saints who came in the past. They are just putting in time to attend the holy places of worship, say one prayer or the other, but they experience one difficulty while doing so, and that is, while they are praying, while they are reading the holy scriptures, while they are attending the other rituals, mind is wandering away. Their body is there, their mouths are repeating the same thing, but at the same time mind is wandering away. For a minute it stays and then wanders away. That is a practical difficulty. Those who are doing something on the way, they find that difficulty before them. So Guru Amar Das, I tell you, that he was in search of this truth. He went over from town to town in India and visited many places of pilgrimages and the holy Ganges. On the banks of it, there are many rishis lived in the past. Even they consider they are some even now. Up to the age of 70 years, he was just going over there to find out somebody so that he be put on the way. But on the way, once when he was going, it so happened that another man was also on the way, you see, some recluse. He wanted water for drinking, and Guru Amar Das just brought the water for him and he drank. He put him the question, who is your master? Have you ever sat at the feet of some master? He was a truthful man. He said, no, so far I have not found any master at whose feet I could sit and could find the way up. He says, oh my Lord, I have taken water from a man who has not even the face of the master, and the most unfortunate, he cursed himself. That struck Guru Amar Das very badly. Well, is it so bad not to have a master in life? Really, truly speaking, to have a living master is a great blessing, I tell you. But he was so much shocked at the statement made by that recluse that he came back. Fortunately, it so happened, you see, that there are many things, many opportunities with us, but we do not exactly follow or make the best use of them. The daughter of the second guru of the sixth, Guru Angad by name, she was married to this grandson of Guru Amar Das. She was there. She had a guru. She had a master. She knew the way up. That day when he heard her reciting the scriptures, he went to her and asked him, well, whose scripture it is. He referred that my father is now carrying on this mission of Guru Nanak, so you can go to him. So he asked her to just accompany her to her father, then went over there. The second guru, you see, when he heard that my daughter's father-in-law has come, so he naturally came out according to the custom. They wanted to meet him, embrace him, but Guru Amar Das said, look here, I have not come now as a, in that relation, you see, in that way of relation, but I have come as a slave at your feet. So he did what he said, and ultimately he had that realization of himself and over self. Then only he gave all these things after that, when he reached that point, you see, of realization. He says, we are doing something. Some are saying prayers, some are offering water to the sun, some are this way, that way, so many in all social regions, there are different rituals, different formalism, some are just within the holy places of worship, this and that thing. With all that, they find that very difficulty confronting them, that mind is not still. In outward thing, you see, mind can be engaged and maybe stop, stay for a short time, but again it wanders away. I remember the time of my master Saman Singh Maharaj, one pandit came to him, and when he listened to the talks given by the master, he was convinced and wanted initiation. When he was initiated, he had some experience within. He told him, well, look here, what have you said? I will do, complete that course within 2 or 3 months and come back again. master laughed a bit and said, all right, what else is worth it? Do it. He went away. Fortunately, at the time when this talk was took place, I was there, present. Okay. But he did not turn up in the 2 or 3 months. He turned up, say, after 6 or 8 months. When he again came and met the master, I was also there. What did he say? Look here, master. Previous to coming to you, I was devoting 6 to 8 hours in the just performing the rituals and prayers and reading scriptures, etc. 6 to 8 hours, the mind would not disturb me. But now, mind is not still even for 5 minutes. You follow why? In outward engagement, mind does get some interest. Because it's got something to see, to be engaged. But when you leave this outward things, mind cannot be still inside. I tell you, like a child, if you shut him up in a dark room, what will he do? He'll simply knock the door, break the doors, cry. But if you have something inside to stay on, and that becomes a very interesting thing to him, then he keeps quiet. The point is, unless you get something inside, outer performance of the outer rituals and formalism, you see it easier. Because for some time at least, that will be controlled for a while, but again that will wander away. So Guru Amar Das says, look here, our mind is just wandering away to all sides. How a man with such a mind, you see, how can he really sing the praises of the Lord? Now he again says, where it goes, you see, what are the sources through which this mind goes out to the outward things? He says it is through the outgoing faculties. Those outgoing faculties are taking possession of the mind, so much so it has become a diet that cannot leave it, you see. One day he does something, 2 days, 4 days it becomes recurrence, brings in habit, and habit when strengthened, it turns into a nature. So once you have just got a habit of something, to unravel there, that becomes a bit difficult. Because from the very birth, you see, our mind has been attached to the outside things, to the outward faculties, you see. All the time dreaming, talking, thinking, seeing, hearing, the outside things, so it has been attached to the outward life. How to still it? What's the result? So at times we fall a prey to lust and to anger. You see? Now the outgoing factor, we just consider for a minute, mark, you see? It comes to the light, burning light, and it singes itself, you see, consumes itself in the fire. One outgoing faculty of sight is controlling the mark. The result is death. Deer or antelope in the jungles, they are very fast running animals, you see. Even the fastest horse cannot overtake it, but how the people catch him, you see. Just the drum beat, they just beat the drums outside on that wire, he is so much so taken away that he comes near it and lays his head on the drum. And the people who are after it catches him, and the whole life long he is under custody, control, enslaved for whole life. You will see now elephant, how strong an animal it is, how they are caught. It's very difficult to catch one elephant from the jungle. The what they do, they just have some very deep ditches dug into the ground, and over that they lay some branches of trees, very thin, and some grass over it, so that it may not be known that there is an earth beneath, it's a ditch beneath. So just make or put on there, it just pattern of female elephant. Elephant comes, being given up to the outgoing faculty of touch, he just gallops and just down in the ditch. For some days, elephant is kept hungry, and after they enter, you say that iron rod, it is kept all through life enslaved. Similarly, take the case of a fish that is under the control of the outgoing faculty of the taste. Free it is in the river, or say, ocean. How the fishermen catch it? By throwing the net into the river and just putting some things on that, they put in something to eat. So they come and just put it in the mouth, and that very hook is just stuck in the neck, and when the fisherman takes away the net, along with that the fisher comes out and dies. So you will see, we give one example of each, whichever of this creation is subject to the slavery of one outgoing faculty, the result is either death or lifelong slavery. What to speak of a man who is under the control of the five outgoing faculties at a time? When our soul under the control of the mind, it is driven away or attached to the outside things, you see, not by one outgoing faculty but five all together, where the room left for the soul to get contact with the divine language or the divine spirit. The result is the fall in lust or anger. Now in lust you will find the seat of the soul in the body is back the eyes. You must have just seen some man die. The lower portion is dead. And the soul is withdrawn, comes back the eyes, and eyes are upturned like that. He is alive. Lower portion is benumbed and dead, but he is still alive. It shows that the seat of the soul in the body is back the eyes. And then ultimately leaves the body. So the soul which is just directed to lust has a downward tendency, but he has to leave to go up. How can that soul go which is just given up to the lust? For that purpose, you see, chastity is life and sexuality is death. We have to be pure in thought, word and deed. Of course, those who have entered the householder's life, they have to live according to the sacraments of their religion, you see. For that purpose, that is also, you see, householder life is not a machinery of enjoyment, excuse me. It is a very blessed, I think, place where man has to live, just have a companion in life, go to just companion life in this earthly life, and go ahead, go together. And of course, one duty is there of begetting children, that's all right, but it's not the be all and end all. We have considered wrongly, we think, shall perhaps this household life is only the machinery of enjoyment. That is not so. To observe celibacy, or restrict yourself this very valuable life, you might say, you have to maintain it. If the one is addicted to downward tendency, naturally the soul cannot go leave the body. Similarly, to anger, the mind expands. Such man is like, always thinking he will offer us. Either mind is going down or expanding. Such a man, how can he concentrate? That Master says at one place, the man whose body has not been just besmeared and defiled with the thoughts of anger and lust, he is the image of God. You see him, your thoughts will change. In that atmosphere, when you will sit, you will have a charging of something higher values of life. So he says, what our minds betraying us into the enjoyments of the outward life, we have to make the best use of it. Mind is a good servant, mind that like fire, but it is a bad master. If fire is in your control, that will cook up your things, that will carry on your machinery, you see, and other things. But once the fire takes hold of you, you are nowhere. You are consumed. Similarly, if you have mind under your control, that works wonders. You can work wonders. And if mind controls you, then you are the all man of the world. That's all. The mind has to be controlled. That's the main difficulty. It lies in a way up to God, you see. In the ocean of mind, innumerable waves coming out of various passions, you see. They affect us, they drown us, unless with the proper guidance and help of some master that can only lead us across. So what does he do? He just transcends you from the plane where the outgoing faculties work. Very first day, the ABC of teaching starts just when you are up the outgoing faculties. All these impressions from outside are the apostles through which these passions assail on you, attack on you, are the outgoing faculties, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, etc. So first his lesson starts, just makes you sit, gives you an experience how to transcend the body, just open your inner eye to contact with the divine link with it. Only then man can, mind can be controlled. And you see, the mind is one. You can engage it into one thing at a time, not two, three, four. You may engage it in the enjoyment of the sensuous life or direct it to the enjoyment of the higher bliss in life. If your mind is just attached to something higher, naturally out of things you become less effective. So if there is any impediment, I may say, in our way back to God is mind. One Mohammedan saint says that if you have a resolute will to see God overhead, then what is the best way? Up. Just put one foot on the mind, that is, stop it by going astray. And the next step you will take, that you will just fall into the kingdom of God. But I will tell you, mind is really a blessing, I tell you. But its direction is only to be set right. You see, probably in Bible somewhere it is said that Habil and Kabil, the story of Habil and Kabil, lower mind and the higher mind. Lower mind are the pinny mind, what is called in the East. Until that it is killed, you see, controlled, higher mind cannot lead you on. The Lord sanctioned mind. Mind has a very vast area, you see. It is one, but it works in three planes. In the physical plane, it is called pini mind. In the higher astral plane, it is called andi mind, astral mind. In still higher, the third plane, it is called brahmani mind, cosmic mind, what we say. But it is all the same mind. Mind in itself is material. It gets consciousness or strength from the soul. You say, what's the proof of that? Just think for a moment. You are absorbed in some thought. Your attention is engaged in something absorbed somewhere. Mind does not work. Attention is the outcome of the soul. And when that is engaged somewhere, mind does not take any strength, so it cannot work. So the way suggested by masters is to just engage your very attention into something higher, and when you taste the bliss thereof, naturally the outer thing leaves off all attraction. At present, soul and mind are combined together. We cannot differentiate. Just like hydrogen and oxygen, when they are just combined in certain ratio, HO2, two parts of oxygen, hydrogen one part, that makes water. Makes water, you see. You will find hydrogen just stops your breathing, and oxygen gives you life. The diametrical opposite qualifications, when they combine, they become water, which has a quite different qualification as compared with the other. Similarly, soul is conscious and mind is material. Both things, when they combine, they become jiva, adi, what is all the subject to birth and death, subject to the outgoing sphere by the outgoing faculties. Soul is all consciousness, you see. But when combined is better, we focus ourselves. So we have analyzed first from the body, you see. First differentiate from the body, then that pindi mind will leave you, lower mind will escape. Then when you transcend the second plane, the second mind will leave you. And when you transcend the three planes, you, all three minds will leave you. There are one mind with three phases of working, you might say. Then the soul is analyzed from mind. You know who you are really. So when the soul gets something inside, only it can be absorbed inside. Otherwise mind is wandering out to the outward lusts, you see, of the body, of the, every, all enjoyments outside. So naturally one mind cannot escape. The Guru Amar Das did a lot, you see, for 70 years even after the church. If he does not give us how many teachers he might have seen. And every teacher had to give him something to do. Some gave knowledge, go on reading these scriptures. Others said, all right, do this form of ritual, observe this form of ritual. Others said some other thing. He did all, but with all that, his mind was not controlled until he came to the feet of Guru Angad, the master, and he gave him how to control the mind from within. I think, tell us how you control the mind later. So this is the state which we are now passing through, each one of us. Our mind is not in our control. Unless the mind comes under control, you cannot succeed in the way of spirituality. He says this is like all men are going with all their whatever they are doing, still their mind is having a control of them. Now he further explained how he controls the mind and what master suggested to him for that purpose. Now, very precious, valuable, untold treasure of divinity pervading all creation. You see? That is in you and everywhere. If your mind just tastes the sweet elixir of that divinity which is in you, contacts with that much, it will stop going outside. Because that is very sweet elixir. Once you taste it, all other outward enjoyments which you have at the through the outward faculties, they will leave you. Because that is more attractive, more beautiful, more delicious, like that. You see, one thing is pervading throughout all creation. If how sweet, how beautiful that is, if you simply just contact with that, your mind will not wander away. You find, where is that divinity in each one of us? How we can contact? This is a subject now remains, you see. But he says, where is that divinity? How can you contact in person? By Father Frederick, he simply says, the remedy of the mind also lies in you. Where there is something like that, nature has provided both the things. You find, even if you see in vegetable, you find, for instance, take radish. The leaves portion of it, those are giving warmth, you see. And the other one portion of it, that you see little radiating for. That's the final thing. Both things are together. Similarly, we have got mind inside, we have got soul inside. For the mind, there is a remedy for soul. It is being driven by mind to outside things, but there is something also lying in you already, that is God in action power, I would say. The divinity pervading each one of you throughout all creation. If you just have contact with that and have the sweet elixir thereof, you see, take that sweet elixir, mind will leave up all sensuous enjoyments of the body. And he said, what it is? Further he explains. He says that is called Naam, by the name of name, and Naam, that is pervading throughout all creation, sustaining, supporting all creation. And that is very, the most precious thing that we can have, you see, if we once contact with that, you will have such the sweet elixir thereof, and once you get a taste thereof, your mind will leave off all outer states of the physical body. That Naam is also termed by the Easterns as Shabda. There are two kinds of Naam, you see. One which can be expressed in words, written, or spoken of. And the other, that very thing which these words denote. For instance, there is water. You see? Water is called in Hindi as Jal. In Urdu as Pani. In Persian it is called Aab. In Latin it is called Aqua. You see? Similar in all languages, in English it is called water. But the thing is one. Names are so many. So the names outside will go to denote the thing. Unless you drink that which these words denote, your thirst is not quenched. So there are so many names of God. Some say gods, others say Allah, the other say Ram, fourth one says Vaheguru. There are so many names. These names were just given by masters who gave the path. There are hundreds of names, you see. But we are just repeating those names, you see, and not contesting the particular thing those words denote. We are just uttering the names only and not the particular thing which these words convey. That is why we cannot have the true purpose for which those names stand for. For instance, we want to quench our thirst unless we just drink that thing, particular thing, which is denoted by the various words, our thirst cannot be quenched, you see. Similarly, in the scriptures, you'll find the name of God. That is called by Mahavir Singh as Nada, Nada. Nada made the 14 words, you see. And Mahavir is called it Kalma. Kalma was the maker of 14 plains. These are words in Persian, but they convey the same sense. In the saints' scriptures, it is given as Nama Shabda. That is the cause of creation of all the world over. That very thing is called by Zoroaster as Sarosha. That's one thing expressed by masters, by various names, whoever came in the past, just let us know that that power of God pervading and sustaining all creation, that is in each one of you, if you just taste the sweet elixir of that thing, your mind will not stop going away. Because now your mind is attached to all those things because it considers, you see, this is the only thing. And now, that very thing is also expressed, you see, in the Bible by Christ. It is not your thing, I tell you. The only one thing. St. John's Bible, it is said, in the beginning was Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, he is defining the Word. Word does not mean the words uttered by the mouth, mind that. These words uttered by the mouth of the Master, that is a different thing. These words speak of that Word which was in the beginning, was with God and was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was in the world. So that Word, maybe now expressed by the power of God now, that was in the beginning with God, you see, that was with God, that was God. Nothing came into existence before the Word was. So Word is the creative power of all things created. You see, this Word further is defined, forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. Just think for a moment. Thy Word is settled in heaven. And heaven is a place which is unchangeable, permanent. You see? By the Word of God, all heavens were made. Again, further it says. So that is a power which is creating all the world of us. That power is named by the word Word, you see. That power is named by the word Kalma. That power is named by the word Naam, Shabda, Sarosha, so many other things. People are only understanding by the word our Shabda. It is only the words given out by the Masters, the Holy Scriptures. These are also valuable, I tell you. What comes in gold and emeralds for a man who wants to go this way. But these words convey some other word power, which is named by the word power, word, by the name of word. That is the creative power. That is, comes from the heavens. That is permanent abode in heaven, you see. And that is the God of all creation. So that power is God, expressed by the word world. Similar definition has been given in the case of knowledge of the other face segment. He says the whole creation was made by Nam. He says that power which creates this world again dissolves this world creation and again restores the world afresh. That power which is the cause of all things, that is called Shabda. You follow me? I am exactly only quoting you to show that only there is one thing inside each man which all things became in the past, that is divinely linked, exists in each one of us. We have to contact that. That is very sweet, very ineffable sweet, I will say, very intoxicating. Once mind gets a little taste of that, it leaves off all of the taste of the world. Further it says, you see, upholding all things by the word of his power. So it is a supporting thing, you see, that power. Further it says, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Word of God shall stand forever. The outward words do not stand forever. And just bring this to your notice just to show what is what. Only when we sit at the feet of the Master we begin to understand these things which are already lying, you see, in our Holy Scripture, spoken of. That is why I say, you see, if you read, you can read the Holy Scriptures, but you cannot understand the true import thereof until you sit at the feet of somebody who is got an insight into the Vedas, you see. So, similar way, you see, or others, Paul said, you see, for the word of God is quick. St. Paul said, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, you see. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. You see. And is a discerner of the thoughts and interests of the heart. That power is powerful. We also have respect for the words which have come out of the mouth of the masters. They speak of that very word which is the cause of all things. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power again, it is given the Bible. Because the word was with power. And where the Christ, you see, gives a parable of a farmer just sowing seeds. Some seeds run into the stony ground, some in the, you see, thorns, the other in the quite ready ground, which fell on the stony ground, the sparrows in the others took away, which fell in the bushes and thorns. They grew but just covered by those bushes, etc., and those which fell on the right ground, you see, developed the ground, those bore fruit. And what does he say ultimately? And the parable is that the seed is the word of God. That ultimate conclusion which is given in the Bible is like that. So by the word are now, he says that is pervading each creation, you see. Unless we contact with that power, which is within each one of you, mind cannot stay inside. That word has two aspects. That is light, and that has also sound which goes with it. God is light. And the other masters in here say, when you just come in contact with the noun, they're so strong in light as wise with the millions of suns rising together. They're giving reference inside. What do they say? There is very sweet symphonies, you see. Rapturous strains of the world, you see, going on within you. Rapturous strains of the world are now going on within you. The Bible reference is given to that, you see. The wind bloweth where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound, but canst cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So every one born of the Spirit, he heareth a sound like that. And that sound is related to the world power of world lying within you, one of you. And where can you contact with that city? So long as we are under the control of these outgoing faculties, we are just as it were the body itself, unless we transcend, only then you see we come into contact with the world reverberating in thought, posing divinely to it. When you just have that thing, only then your mind can stay on the inside of the mind. That is why it was said, you see, what we should love the world, you see, in the imitation of Christ, it is unknown. Love the world, but what should we do? Better than the world. Only one hand there, you see. In the world, if you just put in one hand in it, it becomes world. We are loving the world better than the world, you see. But we should love the world better than the world. If how can we love that? Unless we have got some sweetness, experience some sweetness of that world within. Love cannot come up itself, you see, unless you have just had some sweetness, some enjoyment of that. When soul transcends, sees the light of the world within, and sees symphonies of the world, sound principle going on within, it experiences giant peace, inexpressible. Only then it begins to love the world. Unless we have contact with that, we cannot love the world. Again, at one place it is said that it is like a lamp to me, you see. The word of God is like a lamp to me, you see, that shows light within it. Some references are given to show that there is light and sound within. When you see something within, it just tastes very sweet and sweet, sweetness of the word within, naturally mind is just attracted and won't come out, you see. Now it does not leave of outer enjoyment. When once it tastes that sweetness of the beyond, it will never come out once it has that. But so long as we are in the body, we cannot have, you see, the sweetness, the taste of that world which is reverberating in me, one of you. So what we should do? All scriptures which are given out by masters, by the inspiration of God, if you study those carefully, they all tell you just contact the world lying within you. If you once taste the sweetness thereof, naturally you will never leave it. But when you get that, when you are born not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, you see, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I am simply quoting this from the Bible to show that the truth is one, I tell you. By comparative study, I have come to know, by the grace of my Master, that there is one God, one truth, one way back to God, that is the world lying within you. If you once transcend the body, you come in contact with that is the way back to God. That is why Christ, I am the way, I am the light of the world. Surely, world was made flesh,
in Jaya Samastha. That word which was made flesh was Christ, was the masters who appeared in the form of masters in the world to guide humanity. What did they do? They simply brought you in contact with that divine word just residing in every heart. So where we are now, see where we stand. We simply read out scripture. We simply recite certain psalms. We simply perform certain rituals, this and that. We simply go and pay obeisance at some holy places of worship. These are the only elementary steps, again I would say, just to pave the road to get a contact with this divine link which exists in every heart. That's the teaching of the saints. Mohammedans also say the same thing. They say, by the word, by kalma, they call it kalma. The four creation, four worlds of creation were formed. Nada also defines the same way. Namas also defines the same way. Similarly, Shabda is defined the same way, you see. In the Holy Vedas, you see, it is also said, the whole world sprang up from this very power. What is it? Sometimes they call it as the Logos. And it is, excuse me, the last word of the patience. Last word. You can find it out when you come in contact with some master. Not before. It is already with you, in you. For that you have simply to transcend the outgoing faculties. And Guru Nanak defines it that way, that when you transcend the outgoing faculties, only then you come in contact with that. And that now is very sweet, ineffable, inexpressible. No jaya or peace of earth can vie with that. This all, that what can only be expressed in words, what can be said. So, Guru Amar Das, when he sat at the feet of Guru Angad II, Guru Angad VI, he got contact that word of that world which is within and just tasted the sweetness, the sweet elixir of the divine link within. He says, by that my mind was controlled. In the life of Lord Krishna, there is an instance, even to show it in just by way of example, that is, that once Lord Krishna, he says, just leaped into the river Jamuna. And there under he found one dragon with 1,000 heads. What did he do? He simply tossed over the heads of 1,000 heads of the dragon and just played on the sweet flute. With the aid of the sweet tune of the flute, he was able to just control that dragon. Now this is metaphorical speech. Which is that dragon with 1,000 heads? That is the mind in you. There are thousands of ways in which it simply draws or drags you away to the outward enjoyments. Everybody's got somewhere or the other. So if you but hear those sweet symphonies of the world going on within you, this mind will be controlled forever. That light you see inside, you will also begin to see outside. That sweet rapture state you hear inside, when those are dwelling, you hear even outside. So that gives the control of your mind and starts from wandering away to the outer enjoyment, because it has got more sweet enjoyment inside.